Major Perkin, Reel 4. You were giving me a description of the brigade staff. You said that there was a...
Brigade leader.
Yes.
Staff captain. DAQMD.
Yes.
Yes. Staff captain. IO.
Yeah.
It says also. That's about that. And then, obviously, laser officer, once for each battalion. These battalions. And I was one of those.
You mentioned the signals. But how many signalers were there at brigade headquarters?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Typical Pinsiot. Got a character, he's in charge of them. I don't know how, there are probably two officers and about 20 engines.
What kind of signals did you have in your company at that time?
I'm interested. When we went after this was on, we went to the rest of the others, and the colonel there, I was a bit lazy of it, doing very little. I went about the days of the battalion, but I was on call.
Yes.
I just got a pilot doing nothing. I also can take up signals, take over the signal platoon. He said, all right, if you want to do that, do that. So I joined the signal platoon. Those days, signals are just... First of all, the telephone, which you could talk, or you could do more solid. Then you get this flag,
semaphore flags.
Yes. Not telescope. It's called flag waving. It's not the same as the Navy, right? And then, then there was a helo. I had to operate. See. Do you know what he
mirror to mirror. Reflect the sun.
The sun. There he was. You could send messages on up to nearly 100 miles if you could see it as far. And then there were the lamps. Torch, I should have and end this part. That could be used night or day. Then, on top of that, a bit later, it became the wireless set. In our case, number V18 set.
What were you using in Eritrea? Was that mainly the...
telephone service couldn't operate. It was too busy. It was a flag, but it had a halo. You had to use those things. It was much on the frontier in India, the helio. It couldn't be used in England or Europe.
Not enough sunshine. What sort of range were you using the helio at in Eritrea?
Oh, probably half a mile at the most. The top of the hill down to the other side. Well, at the most, yes.
But where was the brigade headquarters located when you joined it?
Well, in another bed. I think there was a place called Cub. I don't know, so I said, Pistol Cumper, Bill says it all that.
Yes. Did you go into Massawa itself, into the port or town?
I tell you, the brigade headquarters was in the old Dublin's house.
Yes.
Huge building. And I had a room there, and they stayed there.
Did you see anything of the local Italian population?
Not that I remember. I went out to Asmara.
Yes.
One day, indeed, have a look at it.
What was that like?
Very nice, yes. But that's what I meant. I just came in. I'm sorry. While we were in the tower, Kevin fell. So the war was over that part of it. And the brigade went back to up to the Middle East, Mesa Camp and Western Desert.
How did you make that journey back? Did you go by sea from Asmara
From Massawa.
You went from Massawa?
Up to Portsides.
Right.
And there we did, I don't remember how, we got from there we entered a vehicle, the Bagoosh.
Bagoosh,
it is. Right, about 80 miles, I suppose, west along the, west of Alexander, on the coast there. And there, we're now talking about 1941. Maybe.
Yes, the campaign in Eritrea was in late 40, early 41.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
What was there at Bagoosh? What were you doing at Bagoosh?
Well, then we built up a defensive area there, sort of D-shaped around the streets of the north, and the tented all around the back, defensive area. It's called the Bagoosh Boss.
Was this a brigade box?
Yes.
So this was a 7th Brigade still?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we had the big trenches. I remember once we were digging a trench in a pretty bad, not very bad, but a pretty bad sandstorm. Sand coming out there. And a keen RE officer came to us. He tried to stir up, make it all work harder. He's running a competition. And I was standing there with Bertie Herbert, who I mentioned earlier, and he came up and said, "Can I do mind if I measure your attention to how far the dug down?" Oh, man, amen. And Bertie Herbert looking at the stand going, "My dear fellow, you should think this is a time to indulge in your cravings of mathematical exactitude while the atmosphere is permeated with particle silver. I don't." It's a structural.
Who was this Tapper? Was he from the division or?
Yes, probably was. Yeah.
How were these trenches laid out, and what sort of trenches were they? Were they one man rifle pits or
two men. And they went very deep,
about breast height.
That's right.
Yeah. So those were your fighting positions.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In fact, we never attacked there, of course, but we didn't know that. And we were there. We in the Bagoosh of got a while, some months.
How long was your bit of perimeter? I mean, presumably as a company you had a sector that you had to hold. Do you remember how long your front was?
I had about 2 or 3 hours, around. With the brigade in the sea.
Well, what about your own company sector? How wide a stretch of front were you expecting?
Probably about 200, 300 yards.
200 or 300 yards?
Yes.
How did you got your platoons deployed for that? Was it the normal thing of 2 forward and 1 back?
Yes, about that.
Mm. What were the fields of fire like? Did you have good views?
Well, because the desert was flat as flat. Nothing there.
Besides your fire trenches, did you have wire or mines to protect your front with?
It must have done. Mm. But I can't. It's only very leather ones then. I don't remember. It must have been something there, probably a roll to Dunbar.
Yes.
$1,000.
What did you have by way of a company headquarters at that stage?
Starting with the battalion. Mm. Battalion have tented, and the officer of the mess would be an EPIP tent with a 10 feet or 10 feet. Or
yeah.
And it was a bigger tent. We used it, which would only be about that deep. Mm. So you sit in that.
Yeah.
It's all terrible outside, the table in the middle top.
Yes.
And if there's any bombs here, you lay down in the tent. That's the battalion soldier. The company had told us nothing of it, unless my sisters and some of them, my sister, which is sitting with his typical equipment.
So your company, of course, would be you and your signaller.
And a second command,
the Subedar.
And my battalion. Mm.
So essentially you've got four men running
four
the company.
Yeah. Mm.
Was this box ever attacked while you were in it?
What?
Was your box attacked?
Never.
At Bulgush?
No,
yeah.
No, we're too far back. Mm. But the German knew, because they had attacked a whole city of his army. Mm. We never... it wasn't even bombed.
Mm. Did you do any patrolling from the box?
Well, answered no, because the enemy were 50, 70 miles away. Mm. Long, very, very, very far. Mm. I was still there. I also see her, and I took the cigarettes on. I said, can I also take the intelligence test on? You know, do what you want. He and I didn't get on very well. Again, I was busy doing the offer. And he said, do what you want. So I took over the intelligence test, which is a very good thing.
What was the intelligence section doing then? What was it?
Well, normally, they kept the maps here, the maps, otherwise, not very much. Mm. But I do change all that. I also teach them map reading and map compass guiding. And find it very about the countryside. It's not but it made features in the desert. And I could go and do what I like. Mm. And I met all of my men, about six or eight of them. We said, trucks, and we go do all sorts of making, learn how to diet, use the sun compass, nitrogen, and all the oil compass. And we got pretty good at this, which is just as well.
I was going to ask you how you said you were there for some time, how you managed to stop your soldiers suffering from the effects of boredom, because they'd have nothing much to do.
It was very boring. You still want to do all these small arms training and all that is in peacetime. Mm. But sticking the soldiers there, that thing, I had my boys out there. And otherwise, there wasn't much to do.
Mm. What was the sort of daily routine in the box during those quiet times?
Well, massive pins. We used to have to stand tube every morning, every miles away, and get sent to dawn. Mm. And get the fighting position. And after dawn, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we'd get up and come have tea, and then the morning meal, and then do various exercises, drills, and things, keeping them occupied. I remember we had RTO, Jimmy, telling us all the officers that do PT as well. Good idea. Then, didn't do very much. I did, because I had the intelligence service, I joined the service then.
You were being busy with your signals or intelligence,
yes,
section.
And then one day, the south of us, quite a way away, is a sea of sand, which had dead as potters. And someone thought that the Germans were going around through the sea of sand and coming up behind, going to the Death Star, to sort of counter certain operations. So, RVs took on the job, going up the desert to see if anyone's coming.
Reconnaissance patrol.
Yes. Mm. Well, the Sea of the Sand is a huge thing. Who's dunes are that? The sun stirs off to the south. And you used to get very hot, very fast after them. But you had to cut to the top of the agenda. You were never stopped, and my RVR surveyor broke both his legs. And as a result.
What sort of vehicles did you have for doing this?
1500 base, whatever. We take everything off.
It was a stripped down pickup truck.
Yes. The tires were all let down to almost flat.
Yeah.
And nothing extra at all, no rides, no hounds. And I took on this job. I should go out my seconds, we drive about 50 miles straight into the sea of sand, and of course anything had been they would leave marks. We never saw anything, but I was very peaceful out there. No one gave you no fires, nothing lovely.
Did you have any encounters with the native population of the
I don't know. No, the case of the Bedouins. Mm. When you're in the Bruce Goose Boss, there's an escarpment there.
Yes.
Lying down, there's an escarpment, and hard, just on top. It's not sand, it's all hard rock. And there were ones who. Clips, is in this castle. I discovered a cave, which I managed used by bedlands. At all, is it? But better be in here than in the horror, out there get all the sand. So I spent the night there. I was bitten to hell, covered with sea bites the next morning. Huge. I didn't know this is no good. I just left the fire in that cage and let it burn for about an hour and shut the door and left it there. Then I cared about it more like that. It was even worse than before I made all the free cable. So I get up and went up there. But I never met any Bedouins. They were all scared out there and when the war was in them.
Something else, and you know, you were saying the intelligence section was supposed to mark up the maps and so on. It's also supposed to gather intelligence and send it up and to receive intelligence coming down from.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get any information or intelligence from Brigade when you were in the box?
You said where the enemy were. Mm. Yes, what the sisters, they call them, situated resort. What happened?
That come in every day, the sit-rap?
Yes. It's the IO's, Brigade's IO's job to pass that on to. And they did. And I'd even died, I got some notes, I got these now. As you said, at the time.
Did the soldiers in your company take an interest in what was going on at the higher level? Were they keen to know what the enemy were doing and what the prospects were?
I don't know I for my part, I used to have a map. I don't know if it's for my men or is it with the battalion, I can't remember. I had the map showing over the world or and what their balance is, and retreat was going on. But there were others in the terrorists, what's going on really.
What happened when you finally left the baggage box? How did that happen?
We left the baggage box in about the top line in November 1942. Because we're going to the next big offensive, which is called Crusader.
Yes.
With the Orchid Trust from Egypt through to Sri Lanka and Delhi. And we there as a brigade. And this is another one of my best friends, the Battle of Ouvrard.
Yes.
But I was suddenly given the job of leading a brigade and navigating a brigade for this attack.
Presumably that was because you'd been out in the sand sea and you'd been practicing your normal navigation.
But see, the colonel didn't say much, did he? So that's why some of it. And he told me off. And then he said, well, you've got to do that. My God, you better get it right, mate, because you had it, I had it.
This is the colonel.
The colonel. He made it. So that's really, it's a hell of a job. When you move in the desert as a brigade, you're talking, I can't remember the number, of 200 vehicles, three battalions. At this time, he has a horse that then streets with us, and got us, and ourselves, the sappers, battalion gunners, and medical people, but at least 200 vehicles, probably more. And you start off about 50 yards of each vehicle, so that an aircraft couldn't hit too many pieces. Well, we set off in daylight, way, way back, because long ago, to get to the front of it, Egypt and Sri Lanka. And the other side of it was the two Italian defended box. It's called the Omars.
Yes.
Syria Omar and Libya Omar. Well, I got the front. I mean, there's a 50 truck with a flag there. Till everyone falling behind said, oh, it must be over a mile.
On either side.
And then as it started to get dark, everyone slowly closed in all the time. And until eventually, stuff was almost touching each other because it picked off. And I was interested, I then had a life taught signing backwards. I take the precaution that I saw, take three men around my six and us to near the front of our, where the small cast of ground in Rothschild's room. And I said, when it gets dark, you go over there at midnight, was it? I had to break it up. I thought trying to sign the court tester. So I was reading about lost body of men. And then I saw their life standing. We got there. I was busy. This is part of my song time. We all first come there through this narrow gap, then straight out again on the top.
What were you relying on while you were navigating? Were you relying primarily on your sun compass?
No. Daytime, no. I do use a sun compass. I've been very confident with it. I use all possessive compass.
Yes. Did you have any maps that were of any use to you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Did? I still got them.
Were they good maps?
Yes.
You were saying that you had to keep distance for fear of air attack. Had you seen anything of hostile aircraft
not
while you were in the box?
Not this time.
Not in this opposition.
Mm. I've been bombed in Mistur.
Yes.
And on the island. But not this thing, no one such a saw. When he got through this chap, no one there at all. Very lucky, because I was thought they were blinded or something, but they didn't.
So the Italians hadn't tried to block your way?
No. In my wanderings, I was a bit awful wonder about that. Before all this happened, I went through that chap one day, in my time, and wandered around the back of the Italian German camps. I got rid of this, and one day I was going out. it's a bit sandstorm. Mm-hmm. And a truck comes to board me, and we got out. It turned out to be all German there. So we waved to the other, and then it's all different.
So you just passed, and then?
Yeah.
Yes. Did you have any other occasions when you actually saw anime on those expeditions you made?
No. Yes, that's how it was ended. That instance.
What happened then when you'd done your first day's drive towards the frontier and so on with the brigade? What happened when night fell? Did you stop for
overnight? No. When night fell, at the top getting dark, they all closed in.
Yes.
Went to take off arm. Then they got through the gap and set up again.
Yeah. But this was
all picked up.
Mm. And this was in the dark?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you keep going in the dark then?
Yes.
You did.
Well, you know, because I had got tickets on, because I had to go through there, and then go on, and then come doing this west, north, south. Mm. We stuck it with the north to surprise them.
So you're coming around to the rear?
Yeah. Mm. And on the way round, I was quite sure how close I was to the enemy. Mm. All these bloody men behind me. I sent the men off in two of my men. In the deep, we didn't have deep, it was a storm vehicle. And I never saw them again.
Do you know what happened to them?
Well, I'll come to that later. Mm. I come back tonight. Mm. We went off, and the main battle of the Elma happened. Go back to at the end of our battle.
Yes.
We picked up these two men. The men they had left me. They got stuck in the middle of a minefield, spent the night there. And the moment a sound came out and just took some pieces of wall. And well, that's how we started the battle of Omar's from the north. The Royal Sussex went in first. With